This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Head off to Masters for their fire sale, Lisa. But is it worth everything we're meant to be expecting, or do we have a higher expectation than normal? Scott Pape from Barefoot Investor joins us.
First of all, can I just say to the kids, and they weren't really kids, they were probably about 18, holding the going out of business sale placards on Joondalup Drive on Saturday morning at both ends of the block there where Masters is, I salute you. Standing there with a couple of signs.
Scott Pape seems to be back. You there, Scott?
Sorry, guys. I bought my phone from Masters, I think that's what must have happened. But look, all I was saying was, before you couldn't hear me, was I hope those kids got paid.
Oh, God.
Who were holding up the placards.
You should have seen the look on their faces.
It's kind of like one of those things that you've got a job.
I wanted to take them a coffee.
December 11th.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Don't worry about putting in too much effort here because we're going to wind this sucker up.
So what is it? Is it the sale of all sales, Scott, or are we kind of a little perhaps duped?
It's been billed as the biggest liquidator sale in Australian history because they have to actually get rid of between $600 and $700 million of hardware supply.
That's a lot of stuff.
It is, but here's the thing. When you are in a two-dog race, right, so you've got Bunnings and you're a supplier and you don't want to piss Bunnings off, what you will do and what we've been told may have been happening is power tool manufacturers that, you know, you've got to remember this started like Father's Day weekend. So no one wanted to, you know, to really upset the big boy in town, which is Bunnings. So you saw a lot of the power tool manufacturers actually buying back their products at a slight loss.
That's what I suspected.
Yeah, just so they didn't annoy Bunnings. Now, that's been speculated, and I think you would be crazy if you weren't, because you don't want to see, if you're a supplier, you don't want to see your stuff dumped on the market.
Big money in power tools.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, there's huge markup on all this stuff. So what you've seen is between 10 and 30%, but they will actually have to discount quite heavily up to December the 11th, which is the last day. And then the liquidator has suggested that there's probably 15 to 20% of the stock that just won't move. It'll still be sitting on the shelves. So we're talking gun safes.
Yes,
things like that people don't usually buy, that's going to be still sitting there.
Everyone's getting a gun safe this Christmas.
the family that have the gun safe locked up. You know, well done.
But
I'll
Scott,
get you a gun next Christmas.
How far are they going to go with it? Because I remember the Dick Smith's fire sales and going into a couple of those right towards the end there, where there was nothing left. But you could literally buy the shelving off the sides of the stores.
Yeah. But you know, Dick Smith, a lot of their stuff was just absolute junk, even to start off with, wasn't it? You know, you go in there, you're like, why did you? Who thought about actually buying this stuff trying to sell it? But so what you will do is you will see the liquidator progressively get more and more desperate. But the idea, make no mistake, Woolies and their partner Lowe's are still trying to get money out of this.
I mean, the
goal is for them, they've sunk about $3 billion into this thing. So they want to get some money out of it. So you'll see it progressively get better. But I think they hyped it up to try and get people in the stores. And I think that may have backfired on them just a little bit.
Well, today the wallpaper in Merlot Teal was $80 down to $79.95. So, you know, we're off to a huge start. I'm going to wait.
Wait it out. And, you know, the other thing is that Bunnings, the price match guarantee, does not actually work.
Yeah. No, it won't, will it?
Yeah, they forewent that as soon as they heard about the fire sale, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Convenient, isn't it?
All right, Scott, thanks for a bit
Scott.
Of clarity, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talk and Telly.
Oh, look, and I don't know what it is, and I'm not proud of it, but I am glued to this show.
Look, I'll be honest, I didn't really enjoy Married at First Sight last year because I thought it was a little bit lame. And I think it was due to the couples. Last year, they were as interesting as watching your stoner cousin play video games for hours.
Exactly.
You know, a big shout out to Scotty if you're listening.
At least there'll be food there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, heaps of snacks. Yeah. So anyway, I went into this season not expecting too much. But while there are still some bizarre qualities going on in this show, what I have loved is trying to work out what was going on with each couple. And I have been waiting for this dinner together. I was waiting for it. Weren't you excited by it?
Like, yes.
I just knew that there were going to be some people that were going to be rubbing others up the wrong way. And to paraphrase the Joker, and they didn't disappoint. It was great. Before we get into that, I have to say I was really disappointed about the outcome with Craig and Andy. I really wanted to see them at the dinner. I think they could have been in a corner firing off bon mots at the Bogan Dinner Pals. And I wish they could have just gotten through their problems, purely from a selfish point of view, I have to say. But I just think they would have been fantastic in that scenario. Their stuff that they talked about seemed like actually real kind of issues.
I really liked Andy.
Yeah. But, oh, man, that dinner party was fantastic. Like, I enjoyed it too much, but I was really into it. My favourite line of the night, do either of you have a line that really stood out? Because one for me really was fantastic.
Oh, I don't think I took away one particular line.
I nearly broke my wrist writing this down so I could repeat it to you guys. It was when Jess told Dave, "You spoke to a horse more than you spoke to me." I love it. I want to know what he said to that horse. Like, was he talking about some of his favourite horses, like Farlap and Secretariat? Was he whispering sweet nothings into that horse's ear, asking if he could mount it? Like, I want to know about what he said to the horse and why he spent so much time talking to it. He certainly wasn't helping out poor Jess, who unfortunately learned that if you're honest with the wrong guy, you're in a hiding to nothing. Like, I felt, you know, she really opened up and he just went, "Yeah, no." He was gone before he arrived, though, and he knew it. So, Keller.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You just knew he was going to snap, and it wasn't just because his name was Keller. I thoroughly loved him being, like, freaked out that they had sex really early on. While he's got a tattoo of a woman morphing into a lion that represents his belief in individual freedom. Who knows what's going on there?
I know.
I loved it.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Is there enough fingers for hypocrite?
Right.
If it's spelled incorrectly.
Yeah, I was about to say probably the way he spells it. Fantastic. You know, but at the same time, I thought he was kind of provoked a little bit as well. Like, I'm not standing up for him. He shouldn't have said what he said.
Oh, yeah, no, she's a pain.
Yeah, Bella went in.
Right, royal pain. Yeah.
Just read the situation.
She interviews people. She should be able to read people. And know, you know, this is a bit much for him.
On the one hand, I kind of thought, dude, what are you doing? You can't say that to a woman. But then it was like, you know, being provoked and you know, Michael was having a crack, you know, sort of having a go, "Oh, you can get jobs with tattoos." It's like, haven't you ever met a barista? Yeah. But then he got attacked for being a fashion designer. And then it was going to be taken outside. And then suddenly... Dave's standing up. Oh, Dave's suddenly into this, getting in the
way.
He's
got a reason for being there all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was fantastic.
But there was one disappointment with Keller. They didn't tell him that he's got a son back in New Zealand that he only goes and sees every 5 minutes.
Right.
Oh, wow. That would have been good. That would have gone down real well with Keller.
Right, maybe they're saving it. Maybe they're saving it.
Maybe.
Yes, a treat.
Yeah, a treat to look forward to. Look, I'm not saying this show is good, but for some reason, I'm like you, Lise, I am invested. So Married at First Sight, Channel 9, Monday and Tuesday, 8:40 p.m. One thumb, really comfortable being alone.
Show report.
Lady Gaga has been talking up working with Tame Impala frontman Kevin Parker. Take a bow, Kevin. She has described you as a real musical genius. We knew, of course. Mm-hmm. Describing how her latest song, Perfect Illusion, came about, Gaga said this.
Kevin Parker from Tame Impala, this was really his brainchild.
Right.
And he flew to us from Australia, and he came with this idea. It was the beginning of a song called Illusion. And we started to work on it, you know, like I said, we stripped everything away. I sat the piano, Kevin was at guitar, Mark was at the bass.
Ronson.
And we just played through it, and I work on a typewriter, and we would bounce new lyrics back and forth, change the melody, shift it. What was important to me was that it wasn't a song just about any illusion, but about one that we all can relate to, the one that is a struggle to get over.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted it to be a certain type of illusion, so that's when we added the perfect, and the song just kind of came together, and I just love working with them. Yeah, so it was all of us together. But yeah, I have to hand it to Kevin for being he's a real musical genius.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Not a bad day just throwing around musical ideas with Mark Ronson and Lady Gaga. That was Gaga talking about her new album on BBC Radio 1 with Nick Grimshaw. Now, last week, Bear Grylls declared that former Spice Girl Mel B had saved his life by heroically dropping her pants to urinate on him. Yes, you got that sentence right. By heroically dropping her pants to urinate on him during an episode of his survival show, Running Wild. But during a breakfast TV appearance this morning, Bear admitted he embellished the effect her gallant act had, clarifying that it really didn't make a huge difference, but he didn't want to be rude.
When you get stung by a jellyfish, the tentacle will stay on it and keep stinging. So what the urine does is stop the tentacle continue its stinging, but it doesn't, like, neutralise anything. It stops it just getting
worse. Did you feel a difference once she'd peed on you?
Not a huge difference, but I didn't want to be rude. So I was like, so much better, thank you so much.
So it didn't actually make that much difference?
It helped a little bit. I mean, it wasn't the miracle cure I've been hoping for.
Oh, Lord.
That's the sentence of the day.
It is, yes. Chris Brown refused to stand for the national anthem during a charity basketball game on 9/11 on the weekend. Wow, this is going to hurt his otherwise stellar reputation, isn't it? And Blac Chyna has revealed that she and Rob Kardashian are having a girl. You can tell because there's a stalk on the front lawn that says, it's a stripper.
Please repeat.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.